Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the middle of Meditation 6, René Descartes engages in a little bit of a discursion on the human faculties. And he's not attempting to provide a comprehensive survey, but he is setting out some important characteristics of the faculties of the human mind. And now at this point, most importantly, not just the human mind, but also the human body. So the human being as a totality composed of two different substances united in some as yet to be explained way, namely a thinking substance, that of the human mind, and a extended or corporeal substance, that of the human body. And there's a juncture between them. And you can say that certain of the faculties, you might say, straddle the two of these. They don't do so in exactly the same way, so that they're present in the mind in the same way that they're present in the body. That would be impossible given the nature of the mind and the nature of the body, one of which is divisible, the other which is not divisible, one of which is extended, the other of which is not extended, not material, does not exist in space and time. But there are some of the faculties that you could say not only make reference to something outside of the human mind, but actually involve the human body, and even more so, involve the human body in a world of other bodies, a world of extended substances which act upon each other. So he says, and this is about halfway through the sixth meditation, "I find in myself very particular faculties of thinking, which are distinct from me, that is, the faculties of imagining and of sensation," imaginer et sentir in French, right? "Without which I would be able to conceive myself clearly and distinctly as a whole, tout entier, but not those without me," that is, without a intelligent substance to which they are attached. And he goes on and he says, "The notion that we have of these faculties, or their formal concept, in that they include some sort of intellection, from which I conceive that they are distinct from me, just like figures and movements and other modes or accidents of bodies are from the bodies themselves which maintain or underlie them," soutien, right? And so, as opposed to, say, the faculties that are more purely of the human mind, like intellection or conception, the work of the understanding, the entendement in French, or that of volition, which by this point in the meditations we've seen encompasses an awful lot, not just selection, but also affirming, denying, you know, engaging in judgments, pursuing and avoiding engaging in practical decision-making and action, which also includes judgments. And then we might also include the faculty of memory, although we have to be a little bit careful with that, right? Because our faculty of memory includes not only purely intellectual things, like remembering the cogito, or remembering the arguments that Descartes has provided in this, but it also includes a lot of things coming from sensation. And so memory is a little bit of a hybrid compared to volition and intellection. But even those, you could say, intellection is oftentimes going to be of things that we are imagining or sensing. We're grasping the true and immutable natures of them, as we saw in Meditation 5. Volition is another thing which extends outward into the world of our body and other bodies. So we could say that there's something as well of that. But we can conceive of this stuff over here without bringing in the body, as Descartes did in the earlier meditations, when he stripped away the body, when he stripped away the entire universe by means of the hyperbolic doubt. Not so with imagination and sensation. And so he goes on and he says, we also have other faculties, he says, like those of changing place or of putting ourselves into multiple positions or postures, right? And other similar things, which cannot be conceived, he says, any more than the preceding ones, and the preceding ones are imagination and sensation, without some substance to which they would be attached, and therefore, by consequence, cannot exist without them. Then he goes on, he says, but it's very evident that these faculties, if it's true that they exist, must be attached to some corporeal or extended substance and not to a intelligent substance. Why? Because in their clear and distinct concept, there is some sort of extension which is found included in that, but not at all that of intelligence. So, you know, all these things that have to do with what we do with our body, you know, changing place, moving from one spot to another, locomotion, as we say. We might also think about the things within our body, like the faculty of digestion, right? Or, you know, things like that. All of those really pertain just to the body. Now, you might say volition could play a role in that, right? We move from one place to the other because we decide to do that, right? Inside my intelligence or understanding in my intellect, there's some sort of process that's going on that says, hey, move that body of yours from one place to another. But the actual faculty of locomotion is just there in the body. It's part of that extended substance. And it has to do, if you think about it, and it doesn't just refer just to the body, it refers to the body within a field of other bodies. I can only move in space, provided that there actually is space, right? I move from one place to another. You recognize my moving across the field of this chalkboard precisely because you see me changing place relative to this thing that stays still. And similarly, putting oneself in positions, crossing my arms, you know, putting my hands on my head, all of those sorts of things. Again, we're doing that within space, and you might even say within time as well, and in relation to other bodies. So let's go on a little bit more with this passage. He says that, in addition to this, I also recognize in myself this certain passive faculty of sensation. That is to say, of receiving and knowing ideas of things that are sensible. Things that I can perceive with my senses. And he says, but this would be not useful to me if I was not able to make use of it. So there is inside of me, or in something else, some other active faculty capable of forming and producing ideas. Now, what is that active faculty? We could look at that as sort of the active side of sensation, but you might also call that the faculty of imagination, right? Imagination is an active and powerful faculty. It's one that oftentimes Descartes thinks leads us astray because we rely on it too much instead of intellection, as we've seen him talk about earlier in the work. So he says that this active faculty could not be in me insofar as I was not something that thinks, given that it does not presuppose my thought, and also that these ideas are often represented without me contributing in any way, and often against my desire, against my will, you could say. That's the sensation part. And he says, therefore, necessarily, it must be in some substance different than me, in which all the reality which is objectively contained in those ideas that are produced is contained formally or eminently, as I've remarked before, meditation 3, right? And that substance is either a body, that is to say, corporeal nature, a nature, right? Or in which would be contained formally or, and in effect, everything that's objectively and by representation in the ideas, or it would be God itself, or some other creature more noble than the body, in which that would be contained eminently. And he rejects that idea. Actually, some other Cartesians would take up that idea later on, but Descartes says, no, that's not the case. What I'm grasping through sensation and then working on through imagination is coming to me by the body. There is a faculty within the body that is able to take in, or rather several faculties, able to take in information from the outside world. And those ideas that we have in the mind afterwards, which have objective reality, correspond to things that have formal reality or immanent reality, if we want to buy into that notion, in the things themselves of the world that we're perceiving, which could be, in fact, our own body. Some of the things that we're perceiving are indeed our own hands, or if we're looking in a mirror, our head. I suppose we can perceive our head by putting our hands on it, or we can feel the sensations in it, right? Like you can knock on your head and hear the sensation of that as well. I suppose when you're listening to your own voice, you're also hearing your head in a certain way, as well as your windpipe and lungs and things like that, right? So some of the sensations could be of your own body, and some of them would be of the outside world, and there would be a faculty within us. And then over on the side of the mind, we would have the objective reality ideas, the representations of those sensations within the human mind. So that sensation and imagination, in, as I said earlier, sort of straddle the thinking substance and the extended substance. Not that they're the same in both substances, but they would involve both substances. And in a certain way, they are less essential to the human mind. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.